Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, 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 baby. Now don't you look so blue. I got a surprise for you, darling. Yeah, yeah, you're gonna like it too. Well, your landlord throwed you out, 'cause your rent was overdue. So I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. I done it, baby. It's got a Honda generator and a Sterno stove. And there's a creek out back, darling, where you can take a bath and wash clothes. Well, your Cinderella story is all a coming true, 'cause I cleaned out a room and my trailer for you. It's a home sweet home where we can raise hell and take a drink, baby, be somebody, be ourselves. We can run around naked without any fear. The law knows better than to come out here. Ain't no one had last time. Gonna pick one. A case of party liquor and a case of potted meat. And I got some stick candy, darling. Yeah, yeah, in case you want something sweet. You'll forget about that doctor that you was married to, 'cause I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. That's right. You'll be queen for a day, every day it's true, 'cause I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. I hope you like your new home, darling. Would you like for me to carry you over the threshold?
Okay, James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective. On the Patriot Nation Radio Network, right here at blogtalkradio.com, putting the blah, blah, blah in blog talk. That's what we do here. Patriot Nation Radio live coming up with us. We do this live, actually, 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded incarnation of the program that goes out over the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. They've got apps coming out the yin yang. You can get them anywhere on any of your devices. They have a YouTube component because some of the shows have a video component. You can catch it there. Or you can just go to mojo50.com. Go to the show tab, click on that, and you can listen to whatever's playing on the broadcast schedule in its proper rotation. Or you can scroll down through there and you can listen to a show that you've missed in the archive format. Mojo50 Radio, your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio out there anywhere. And ACP is proud and humbled to be moving through that rarefied air. Outstanding programming, outstanding hosts, mojo50.com. Well, okay, this just in, Elijah Cummings, news reports indicate that Elijah Cummings, the corrupt Democrat who weaponized the IRS to target Catherine Engelbrecht, is dead. He's 68. News reports indicate his death was due to a toxic infection, probably a severe strain of Treponema pallidum that was dormant in his body and then reanimated following surgery. 68 years old, not exactly old, but he's gone. Now, he was his district, Elijah Cummings' district, was in Baltimore, the crappiest, crimiest, grimiest, slimiest, rat-infestediest section of Baltimore. And it'd be fondly remembered through Capitol Hill, though, as one of the guys who forged friendships across party lines. His legacy on the House Oversight Committee, however, is one of considerable, stark partisanship. In opposition, he defended abuses by President Barack Obama's administration when, in the majority, he tried to damage President Donald Trump by any means necessary. He's remembered for his most recent fight with Trump when the president called the congressman's district in Baltimore a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. Now, when he says this, when the president says this, Elijah Cummings leads the Democrats in sitting up straight, gasping and clutching at their pearls, being shocked, shocked and appalled. And this created a firestorm. I remember some said, created an absolute firestorm. How dare the president say this about the good people of Baltimore? He wasn't saying about the good people of Baltimore. The good people of Baltimore have been hard done to by this greedy, corrupt, now no longer living Democrat hack. So the news cameras go, naturally, you know, because the news media hates Donald Trump. And so he says it's a crappy, rat-infested, rodent-infested mess. He's absolutely right. The news cameras go out, and what do they see? Rats. Literally rats running in the back of the shot with the roving news reporter there in Baltimore's shooting gallery or whatever you want to call it. At that time, when Trump said these things, Trump was reacting to some of Elijah Cummings' own outbursts at the acting home of security at that time, a guy named Kevin McAleenan, over this trumped-up allegation of mistreatment of migrant children in U.S. Border Patrol facilities at the border. And a lot of Republicans felt Cummings went too far in his criticisms. So the Democrats, after the president says what he says, call the tweet racist. And the reason that it is racist is because it used the word infested. Now, as Trump later noted, Cummings himself had used the term drug infested to describe his own city in 1999, which to this day, 20 years later, remains one of America's most troubled urban areas. To conservatives, Cummings became a symbol of an entrenched Democratic political elite who use racially gerrymandered districts to protect their gatekeeping roles, but at the same time fail consistently to improve the lives of his constituents. A lot longer before that, however, Cummings had made an enemy of the president, who was gracious today, calling Cummings a highly respected political leader. What was once, as Breitbart News noted earlier this year, what was once the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform is now the Committee on Oversight and Reform. In other words, no government. Cummings said the new name reflected the committee's true jurisdiction, which covers both government and the private sector. And by private sector, what he meant was Trump. Arguably, Cummings abused his role to create elaborate show trials aimed at embarrassing the administration. The low point was a hearing in February featuring hapless former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, who had already been convicted of lying to Congress and was on his way to federal prison. Though Cohen provided no evidence of collusion between Trump and Russia, his testimony was full of bitter denunciations of the president. In April, Cummings wrote to Fox News demanding to know if it had suppressed a story before the 2016 election about Trump's alleged marital affairs, an accusation based on a dubious report in the liberal New Yorker magazine. Cummings suggested Fox violated campaign finance laws by making an in-kind contribution to the Trump campaign by not running a story it could not prove. Effectively, he was demanding congressional oversight over Fox's newsroom. Meanwhile, it appears Cummings had his own conflict of interest. His wife has a nonprofit group funded by business interests relevant to his committee, but refused to provide information about its funding as required by law. It also turned out that Cummings himself had urged the IRS to target one of the groups, True the Vote, which eventually won its court case against the government and was awarded attorney's fees. When the select committee attempted to find out the truth behind the Benghazi terror attack, Cummings emerged as Hillary Clinton's number one defender. Do we want to badger you over and over again until you do get so tired that we get the gotcha moment? He asked Clinton during testimony, almost apologizing basically for the fact she was being interviewed at all. Cummings could also be exceptionally gracious. He defended an emotional representative, Mark Meadows, from false accusations of racism hurled by Representative Rashida Tlaib at the Michael Cohen hearing, for example. Meadows remembered Cummings on Thursday, said, you know, there was no stronger advocate and no better friend than Elijah Cummings. I'm heartbroken for his wonderful family and staff. Please pray for them. I will miss him dearly. Yet, despite his personal friendships with Republicans, Representative Cummings helped make the congressional oversight when it came to the executive branch more partisan than it had ever been before, adding to the country's growing political divisions. You know what, guys? Here's the deal. And this always happens. These guys, they go to Washington. And it was, what was that guy's name? He was from Arizona or Utah. Mormon, of course. Shoot, I can't remember his name now, daggone it. He said that it was impossible. He was a long-time embedded member of Congress. It is impossible. Impossible. To go to Washington and return an honest man. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I know that money talks in Washington, and the lobbyists and their interests throw around a lot of cash trying to get legislation or bills or you know, whatever they need, the government largesse to be direct, you know, whatever government largesse they need directed their way, whether it's in the form of money or whether it's in the form of policy. This guy didn't do anything for his people. And yeah, he's gone today, and I know we should probably, you know, everybody is saying that this day a prince and a great man has died, but did he really? Was he really? Was he really a prince? Was he really a great man? Well, we just heard, you know, I just read to you what Mark Meadows, Representative Mark Meadows of Texas, said, that the guy stood up for him when he was being falsely accused of racism. And there were a lot of people who have said some pretty positive things about him. Some of them, I'm sure, are being polite, being bad form, I suppose, to speak ill of the dead. Some of them were probably very sincere. And I'm sure if we went back and looked, we could probably find many examples over Elijah Cummings' political career where he did do some good things, I guess, maybe. Somebody else will have to look for that. I don't have the time. But when it came to partisan politics, he was a soldier. He took his marching orders from Nancy Pelosi or whoever the Speaker of the House would be, you know, whoever the Democrat Speaker of the House would be, and did what he was going to do. No different than Adam Schiff, no different than Jerry the Jowl Nadler, no different than Chuck Schumer, no different than any of the messed up Democrats in the Senate or in the House. Does he leave a vacuum? I don't know, probably, I guess, amongst his wife and family and those people he was responsible for enriching. His political legacy? Well, you know, he's not even cold yet, so it's difficult to say, and that's something that'll be looked at more closely through the vacuum of history, and it's going to take us some time to get beyond the confines of this particular historical bubble that we're in now for it to be accurately assessed. But today, Elijah Cummings, dead at the age of 68. Moving on.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, he was solid. He was solidly corrupt, and it's the kind of guy that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden like to do business with. One of the things I said in the teaser there was that we were going to talk about Syria and Turkey a little bit in China. And there was some really, really solid, indisputably smart foreign policy moves that not many people are talking about. And when they do talk about them, they're upset. Because what is Donald Trump doing? He is shaking up the status quo. Republicans hate the guy. Democrats hate the guy because he threatens to break their rice bowls. What's that mean? Drain the swamp. The people who hate Donald Trump, I promise you, the people who hate Donald Trump on the Republican side and the people who hate Donald Trump on the Democrat side are the same. Mitch McConnell is no different than Nancy Pelosi. John McCain wasn't any different than Chuck Schumer. They're crooks. You understand? That's why they hate Donald Trump. It doesn't have to do anything with foreign policy or domestic policy. It has to do with Donald Trump representing honesty. It has to do with Donald Trump representing forces that will sweep away corruption and graft and try to minimize that stuff in Washington, D.C. That's why they hate him. That's why they fear him. And time's running out for him. At some point, you know, if they don't get rid of him this term, they know he'll be a lame duck in his second term. And I'm going to go ahead and predict that he's got it. He's going to walk away with it. He's going to walk away with it hugely, I think. Not dead air. I'm still here. Just kind of coalescing my thoughts. Over 20 years ago, a treaty was signed by the United Kingdom and the People's Republic of China concerning Hong Kong. Hong Kong was a British protectorate. It had been for decades after the Communist Party had taken over mainland China. It is a big bone of contention and had been for a long time amongst Chinese communists. They wanted Hong Kong. They wanted Hong Kong to be part of the People's Republic. And there was a treaty signed. And in that treaty, in 1997, China would assume control of Hong Kong from Great Britain. Now, there were some provisos that were attached to this. And one of the most important provisos was that the existing system of government in Hong Kong would remain. It would remain intact. That was one of the things that China had to agree to. So it was one China, two systems. is what the doctrine, the concept was touted as. Hong Kong is an economic powerhouse. Lots of money flows in and out of there, and the Chi Coms want desperately to redirect that to themselves. Over the summer, China introduced a law in Hong Kong concerning concerning summonses by the Chinese government, or subpoenas, or indictments. And if you were indicted by the Chinese government for crimes, whether real or imaginary, and usually they were imaginary, because if you're a political dissident and you're speaking your mind against communist tyranny, well, they take a dim view of that, and they're going to want to bring you back to Beijing to, talk to you a little bit about it. So they have this new extradition policy. If you're in Hong Kong and you're talking smack about Beijing or Xi Jinping, they can come get you. They can come get you and they can take you back to Beijing, and you're not going to be seen anymore. Basically, because that's how China handles their dissidents. They get rid of them. Flee speech? We don't got no flee speech. Prison. We got prison. Rots and rots of prison. And so that's what would happen. Well, the people in Hong Kong said, no, we don't like this. And they started protesting. And fellers, when those cats in Hong Kong protest, they protest. We're talking about 1 million people in the streets, ticked off, worrying the living daylights out of the Hong Kong police force, worrying the living daylights out of Beijing. So Beijing sends military units in police uniforms to assist the Hong Kong police in quelling the disturbance, to bring the riots out. Okay, 2 million people. This is getting serious in Beijing now. They're worried. There are a lot of things happening that have the leadership in Beijing off balance. Number one, you have what's going on with Hong Kong. Before Hong Kong, what you have is Donald Trump making very serious diplomatic inroads with Kim Jong-un. Now, North Korea is a satellite nation of the People's Republic, and they have in the past used Kim Jong-un to great effect because they allow him to make these tests. They give him enough missile technology and nuclear technology where he's got a few warheads, and now he's got a medium to serious threat in terms of a delivery system, which means he could reach Japan, which bothers them a great deal, and they know a little bit about nuclear detonations. But that's what happens when you Pearl Harbor somebody, so don't get excited. But they're obviously alarmed. Guam is obviously alarmed. A lot of the Pacific Rim nations are clearly alarmed. South Korea, obviously. But they say that there are some that he has a delivery system in its embryonic stages is capable of hitting the West Coast. Maybe, maybe not. But it's something to, a nuclear-armed North Korea, it's just not good for business. It really isn't. So you have Beijing struggling to maintain this sphere of influence that they have with Kim Jong-un in North Korea, but it's difficult for them to match the economic incentives that the United States could offer Kim Jong-un for playing ball. As a matter of fact, the trade war that we've currently been engaged with China, even though you're not going to hear it anywhere out there, it's been a pretty serious success. How serious a success? Okay, China lifted import tariffs and ordered even more because they're food strapped of American supplies of rice. Yes, yes, yes. Donald Trump sold the Chinese, of all people, rice. And they're paying through the nose for it. Our farmers are coming out on top. So we have this trade war. We have these tariffs that have seriously constricted China's ability to do international business because of sanctions that have been put in place and because Donald Trump is discouraging American companies from doing business with China. And plus the lockdowns and the sanctions that have been put in place in terms of intellectual property theft, China's hurting. And there's not anything they can do. They can make noise. They may make some, conceivably some kind of militaristic move or threat, but they always do that. That's just part of the game. But they can't afford to do too much of it because these trade restrictions are killing them. So why don't we hear a whole lot out of China besides the usual belligerency that we get from their propaganda newspapers? Because they're hurting. There's very little else they can do. And they're coming to realize, they've always understood the fact that the right man in control of the necessary economic means in the United States could ruin them. Now, they didn't have to worry about George Bush. They didn't have to worry about Barack Obama. They sure in hell didn't have to worry about Bill Clinton, the guy that was responsible for turning over from L'Oreal Industries guidance system technologies, which up to that time, the Chinese had been frustrated in their turn in their search for reliable guidance systems for a delivery system which could hit further into the mainland of the United States. Bill Clinton took care of that. Oh, you can't go into a trade war with China. They'll kill us. There's a billion gazillion of them, and they're all going to be mad. And we don't want to do that. And there's a, ooh, communism, ha, 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 ha. And Donald Trump says, meh. And he does it. And these guys fall into line. Last week, I think it was last week, the president announces that he's going to be moving. Oh, well, wait a minute. Back to Hong Kong before we move on to this. Back to Hong Kong. When I wanted to talk about these protests, and I couldn't find the article, and now I just found it, from American Thinker. We haven't seen a whole lot about what's going on in Hong Kong with the protests, but the Chinese military is there acting as a police force. They're making arrests, abusing the protesters. These guys are getting their heads thumped. Chicks are getting raped. They're being beaten on. The leaders of the protests are being identified and they're being neutralized. I don't know if anybody has been killed yet, but I do know that the Chinese are firing ammunition, live ammunition, into these crowds. For a long time, they were using rubber bullets, which are bad enough, and one of those can kill you too if you get hit with it right. But what can we learn? What can Joe Average, Joe Sixpack here on Main Street USA, what can he learn? What can we learn? What can we take away from the protests in Hong Kong? Not dead air, getting a drink. Well, it looks like we're down to the bottom of the hour. We'll come back to this in a minute. That gives me some time. That's great. We will be back. I didn't realize we were moving along that quickly. We will be back with more of a conservative perspective. We're down at the bottom of the hour, and you know I like to take a little break, grab something to drink, chill out for a minute. But we'll come back to this and what we can learn. What can we take away from these guys in Hong Kong? You're listening to ACP, A Conservative Perspective. I'm James Bostic, and it's here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network through Blog Talk Radio. We will be back right after this.
and say, all right, love is kind of crazy with a spooky little girl like you. You always keep me guessing, I never seem to know what you are thinking. And if some fella looked at you, it's for sure your little eye will be a winking. I get confused, cause I don't know where I stand. And then you smile and hold.
Time in my life when I was down so low, a mosquito wouldn't even bite me. I lost my job, my four-wheel drive. I even got thrown out of my trailer. All because of one thing, freebasing cocaine. That's all my life was basing, nothing else. I was on that last lap with that checkered flag about to weigh me on into hell, but I got lucky. I got in a rehab program down there at Redstone Arsenal down there in Alabama.
Tell them about it,
people
brother.
Hitting me. Well, that smoky white devil is no longer a part of my life. And I can proudly say that today, I do not freebase cocaine. Now, I'll take a drink now. I will take a drink, but I do not freebase cocaine. But, you know, I'll take a drink, and I might even smoke a little reefer. You know, I like to smoke reefer. You know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything. But as far as basing goes, I don't do it.
I'll do some toot now, don't get me wrong.
You know, if you part and everything, somebody comes up and give it to you, it's impolite not to take it there. So me and my girlfriend, Sally, we party, man. I tell you, we do party. So, you know, I will do some toot. We do, you know, on a good weekend there, we call a bunch of friends over, we do about an 8-ball of toot there. But we don't base. I do not freebase cocaine. We'll make that clear. I don't do it. Well, I tell you what, that drinking now, I will not drink that tequila. Now, I tell you what, the last time I drank it, I got wild and everything. My girlfriend said I beat up on Sally. And, you know, when I done that, it hurt me a lot more than it does her when I'm beating the hell out of her. So I don't drink that tequila now. I don't do any basing. I do not freebase.
That ain't
That's
right,
two
honey.
Things I don't do. I'm no longer part of my life. But I tell you what, I will tequila. I admit, I do drink it about twice a year. You know, I drank some tequila, and of course, when I do drink it, Sally, you better look out, because you know I'm going to go upside that head now. Oh, but basically, I don't do it. I heard somewhere coffee's bad for you, that caffeine mess. I read that somewhere. So I do that speed, get back up again. Of course, you got to get ready the next day and going all day long, part of everything. But as far as basing goes, I don't do that. I will not free base cocaine. I don't touch it. Unless it's my birthday or something, man, a special occasion, I'll get out that pipe and I'll base. I won't freebase cocaine if I'm behind the wheel of a car. I won't do it. If I'm driving the car, I won't do it. Unless, you know, you stop in traffic. You know you're going to be there a while. Ain't nothing on radio. I'll pull out that pipe and I'll base. But I will not freebase cocaine if I'm in church. I will
Amen.
Not freebase cocaine
Amen.
In churches. Unless, you know, it's during the hymn and I don't like something. I might get out that pipe and I'll base in it. I admit it. And I won't do it during the sermon, though. I will not freebase cocaine in church during the sermon unless I've heard it before. Unless, you know, I've heard that song. I won't hear the same thing again. You just won't sit there and do nothing. So I'll get out that pipe and I'll base. But I won't do it. I will not do it at the altar. I will
right.
not. I can tell you right now, I've been through that rehab, and freebasing no longer part of my life.
This message brought to you by the Redstone Drug Rehabilitation Center, reminding you to just say nope to dope.
Well, yeah, Hunter Biden for the Redstone Rehabilitation Services there. That's funny. I don't give a damn who you are, man. That's just great stuff. James Bostic here. Conservative's perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. BlogTalkRadio.com, putting the blah, blah, blah in Blog Talk. You want to check them out. You know what? And I rag on them, I know, and you guys have heard me do it because some of the technical things that have happened. But to give the devil its due, as bad as I hate to do it, and I'm going to do it through gritted teeth, there's no platform like it. I mean, that's it. We've looked because we've been platform shopping, and it nobody offers all the things that Blog Talk offers. You know, we can have callers calling in, not that we're necessarily a caller driven show, but a lot of them are. Mark Hoffman, for example, he's always got lots of guests calling in. But it's set up to do all the things, you know, that a real live talk radio program would do. And I've got to give them kudos for that. And when it's working, there's some pretty good stuff. BlogTalkRadio.com. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern time at Mojo 50 Radio, Mojo50.com, your one-stop shop for the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio out there. You can go to Mojo 5. They got apps for everything, but go to Mojo50.com. Click on the show tab, and you can scroll down there. You can listen to whatever's playing in its programmed rotation, or you can scroll down and find an episode that you missed in an archive type format. Mojo50.com. Okay, we were getting all Chinese there. Or Hong Kong. Hong Kong Fui. You guys remember that as a kid? When I was a kid in the early and mid 70s, martial arts was a thing because Bruce Lee walked the earth, and that was the show. That was when Hong Kong Fui. It's like Hank the Cow Dog with karate. Our American identity is based on a shared set of common beliefs, including valuing liberty, a love of freedom, equality, and a government supportive of the well-being of ordinary people. The great American experiment is based on this idea that all men are created equal and that the state derives its powers, its just powers, from the people, from the consent of the governed, rather than a ruling aristocracy or an elite. At the Constitutional Convention, the Founding Fathers formulated a system of government based on the principles of checks and balances. They fully understood the destructive nature of a tyranny and how it could develop or be avoided. Established was a republican form of government based on the idea that elected representatives would have a primary duty to represent the political interests of their constituents. The potential for an increasing concentration of power and the establishment of authoritarian elements and institutions in the country has always been on the minds of American political thinkers going back to the days of the founding. Many of them were concerned that people and political institutions over the longer term are subject to corruption, active consolidation of power, and a movement toward authoritarianism. They believe that an established government is in need of constant vigilance by the people. Not dead air, just taking a drink. America has survived national emergencies and profoundly troubling times throughout our history. The Civil War, the Great Depression, the challenges of Nazism and communism and various other major threats, the United States Constitution has proven to be flexible and adaptable enough to endure for over 200 years. And now our nation is at yet another critical crossroads as our governing values face profound threats from today's increasingly radical Democrat Party, as well as other entrenched establishment elites of various types. In other words, Hydra. An overall national economic growth of less than 2% per year under President Obama was inadequate, grossly inadequate, to increase the standard of living for the majority of Americans. This caused a lot of people to believe that America was destined to enter this period of long-term managed decline. Once a country united in so many ways distinctive and troubling fault lines increased during the Obama years among different classes of people. Across our country, before the Trump presidency, the poor were getting poorer. The working and the middle classes also paid a severe price, with their opportunity for better lives permanently diminished by Obama's progressive governing policies. It was also true that under Obama, many of the rich were getting much richer, and various elites in selected states and areas, especially along the east and west coasts of the United States, prospered as never before. In 2016, fault lines among various segments of our country emerged to a point that made the election of President Trump possible. Trump united himself with the interests of the working and the middle class Americans, and they came to the polls in sufficient numbers, 63 million of us, in sufficient numbers to make the difference and enable him to be elected. The number one priority of Trump voters was seeing the restoration of American economic growth and prosperity. He leveraged both his celebrity status and his public track record as a successful businessman as the candidate who would actively fight for his constituents and place American national interests first in the conduct of his administration. This is what we want. The Democrats have adopted a strategy since President Trump's election of resistance on all fronts at any cost. Without restraint, without compromise, the Democrats are focused on one primary goal: to gain power by any means possible, by conducting an orchestrated campaign of resistance to anything, anything at all, related to Donald Trump. The mainstream media, the celebrity culture, academia, big tech, and the entertainment industry have joined together to promote the Democrat Party and an increasingly radical agenda of progressive policies while suppressing all others. Objective political truth is becoming a rare commodity as this increasingly powerful combination of elites in our country attempts to govern by deception and distortion. Our political system has evolved to a point where the well-being of the average citizen seems to no longer count or is a distraction to these elites. Maintaining power and privilege have become their collective overriding objective. Not dead air. Sadly, many prominent Republicans in power at the national level and several leading conservative thought leaders and institutions have also placed their own interests above those ordinary citizens and have often opposed or provided only marginal or muted support for President Trump. On the other hand, nearly 63 million people voted for Trump in 2016, and he has an exceptionally high approval rating, averaging above 90% support from Republican Party voters. The president's also created an enduring bond with his supporters that continues to be demonstrated at the highly enthusiastic and well-attended turnouts for his political rallies. A troubling question is this: when does the anger of his supporters, joined by other concerned everyday American citizens, given today's increasingly poisonous political climate, when does that reach a tipping point? When does that reach a state of critical mass? Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street, Antifa, beating up on Trump supporters as they're leaving political rallies. Old men, old women, people being hit with eggs, with bags of pee and feces. Why? Because they support Donald Trump. That's why. No other reason. That's all. Will a segment of the population, will there be a group of people who decide to take escalated action of some sort given the environment of this continual daily assault against President Trump, against you and I, indirectly as his supporters, in addition to our foundations that make up our system of government? Americans fundamentally are law-abiding people that want to go to work every day. They want to have their families. They want to go about their lives. And they don't want to be left the hell alone. And further, they are responsible citizens. Similar set of circumstances were in effect in Hong Kong only several months ago. A tipping point in Hong Kong was reached when proposed legislative amendments by the Chinese Communist government allowed for the extradition by the country's judicial authorities of Hong Kong citizens to mainland China. Many Hong Kong citizens realized this was a significant action by the Chinese government to start to impose what? Communist rule, increasingly authoritarian rule over their traditionally democratically ruled city. Remember, Hong Kong was a protectorate of Great Britain. Now, since its escalation in June, the conflict in Hong Kong has evolved into extensive pro-democracy protests and civil unrest by such sheer numbers of the citizens as to overwhelm the authorities. Even with often brutal police action against the enormous mass of unarmed protesters, the civil disobedience remains organized, active, and undeterred to this day. They're still protesting. You don't hear about it? Yeah, well, they are. There appears to be no increased violence, and an escalation in hostilities between these two factions seems inevitable. There appears to be no possible reasonable resolution in sight for this conflict. On the one side is a communist Chinese government that is intractable in its demands to impose its authoritarian style of rule over Hong Kong, while on the other side, large numbers of residents out in the streets for their freedom and to preserve the democratic Hong Kong system of government. Now, with the outbreak of these hostilities and seemingly no reasonable resolution possible, life for all citizens of Hong Kong will never be the same and likely will continue to be severely curtailed. We're going to be reaching our own tipping point soon. That is the point here. And it's going to result in mass protests and civil unrest starting in this country. You know why? You know what happened in Washington, D.C. today? An anti-Trump or an anti-impeachment protest. It was about 100 people, pretty well organized. Everybody was neat. Nobody peed on anybody. Nobody littered. Nobody broke anything. Nobody set fire to police cars. Nobody, because they're responsible citizens. But there were about 100 of them in Washington, D.C., protesting the impeachment, the fraudulent impeachment proceedings against the president. Now, 100 is, in the scheme of things, that's not a whole lot. But for 100 people to show up on a work day in D.C., that's telling. That's very telling. You're not going to hear about it on the news. They don't want word of this getting out. Because when somebody sees, and they're going to see sooner or later, responsible citizens speaking out, pushing back against Antifa, against leftism, against progressivism, against the Democrats, they will have awoken a sleeping giant. And it's going to – I worry about it. Honestly, I worry about it because, what is it that everyone thinks of as the end result? Well, of course, that's armed conflict, civil war. And being a student of history – and an enthusiastic student of history. And understanding intimately the cost and the destruction and the devastation that our own country went through during its civil war. It could be tough. Something for us to think about. And we need to start thinking about it now. Because it worries me that time is coming soon. Oh, well, let's see. And another thing. This is something else that you didn't hear on the news about the protests in Hong Kong. In August and September, when these people were assembling and they were voicing their disdain with this extradition policy that was going to be coming up, you know what they were doing? They were praising Donald Trump. They had pictures of Donald Trump out. They were singing the Star Spangled Banner. And it's obvious why our national anthem and clearly Donald Trump are two real modern-day touchstones that are representative of our love of freedom, of our established, ordered liberty. These people in Hong Kong that are showing these pictures, they're fans of America. They love America. They want Hong Kong to be what they perceive the United States to be. A bastion of freedom, of individualism, of economic harmony. Will it happen? China's not going to let go of Hong Kong. Hong Kong is not going to be able to sue for independence. It's not going to become an independent state. Hong Kong belongs to China. That was a deal that was done 20 years ago between the United Kingdom and the People's Republic, and it's done. And these people are going to resist. And the more they resist, the tighter that the Chinese Communist Empire is going to, you know, is going to squeeze them. And that's that. We live in interesting times. You're going to see a lot of stuff about Elijah Cummings being a great guy on the news. The establishment media is going to take him as a fearless warrior against the evil Donald Trump, standing up and speaking truth to power. And all his colleagues are going to say, yeah, he was a great guy. He was a lot of fun. He was this, he was that. Was he successful? Probably in terms of advancing his ideological, the ideological tenets of his party. Yeah, he was probably pretty successful in that. Was he successful in seeing to the needs of his constituency in Baltimore? Guys, when the reporters went to Elijah Cummings' district to refute the president saying it was rat infested, they got overran by rats. Elijah Cummings' record is going to speak for itself. It's going to speak volumes, and it's going to damn the man far more effectively than me or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any talking head anywhere out there. It's just the way it goes. And we're at the top of the hour, and I see that the Guap is on the phone. Guapo!
What's happening?
Hey, Fonsa, mi amigo.
What's the good word, Chief?
Oh, I don't know, man. How's everything down in Florida, buddy?
You know, it is what it is. We're here, we're kicking, and we're still screaming. We're still fighting, so.
And that's what we do. That's as long as we got breath, as long as we're breathing, that's exactly what we're going to do, is fight. I understand tonight you are going to be you jumping into the commentary arena this evening. What are you going to be talking about?
Hey, I'm just going to talk about everything from, a conservative's perspective on things, and I'm going to switch it to a patriot's perspective.
That sounds awesome, man. I just got finished talking about. Oh, one thing I want to share with you. The thing that's been going on in Turkey, where the president says he's pulling out. He's pulling out a couple of dozen special forces operators and relocating them in Syria, and this has the Democrats losing their minds, saying that. We're leaving them open. We're leaving Syria open and the poor Kurds to invasion. And Erdogan's going to move his people in. Well, Erdogan did move his people in. But I want to read to you guys, and I'm not making this up. This is the letter that President Trump sent to Princip Erdogan. His Excellency, Tayyip Erdogan, President of the Republic of Turkey, Ankara. Dear Mr. President, let's work out a good deal. You don't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people, and I don't want to be responsible for destroying the Turkish economy, and I will. I've already given you a little sample with respect to Panzer Brunson. I've worked hard to solve some of your problems. Don't let the world down. You can make a great deal. General Mezlum is willing to negotiate with you, and he's willing to make concessions that they would never have made in the past. I'm confidently enclosing a copy of his letter to me, confidentially enclosing a copy of his letter to me just received. History will look upon you favorably. If you get this done the right and humane way, it will look upon you forever as the devil. If good things don't happen, don't be a tough guy. Don't be a fool. I'll call you later. Sincerely, the Big D. Now, that's the letter that he sent to the guy. And people, and here's the thing, Mark, that gets me. Huh? Go ahead.
Isn't that amazing?
And people are losing their minds in the news about this. They call it a third grader's letter. They call it this. They call it that. You know what this is? This is a guy who understands how to talk to a thug. That's all this is. This is a guy from New York who knows how to deal with thugs and muggers. And that's what he's dealing with. And do you know what happened? Within
they got themselves a ceasefire.
Yeah. He called the president and said, you know what, maybe you guys ought to help us out with this. And no war. And the Democrats are madder than hell because there's no war. When was the last time the Democrats got jacked up over not having a war?
And this all started because President Obama drew a red line in the sand.
And then
everybody
ran away from
that. Everybody forgot that. And I'm gonna go over a thing where he had actually made 16 statements about withdrawing troops even.
Obama?
So,
oh yeah, and these guys were probably Nancy Pelosi and those guys were probably rubbing their chins going, That's a brilliant move, Mr. President. Kudos, sir. We support you 110%.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm winded. It's time for you. I'm tagging out, man. You get in there and put these guys in a headlock. El Guapo, ladies and gentlemen. El Guapo Magnifico, Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio. Mark, have a terrific show, buddy.
All right, James. Thanks a lot, man. Rock on, brother. Good show. There you have it, folks. That's James Bostic in a conservative perspective. Heard two nights a week here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. 7 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Yes, indeed. What a week of news. Holy moly.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Hey, Rock and Roll Terry's watching. Alan Poindexter's watching from the Carolinas. Jim, Victoria, Ed, also from the Carolinas. Andy and Alex and Dennis and Gary Binford, ladies and gentlemen. Nation Savers 2019 coming soon. Jim, Denise, and everybody here in the live feed. Kathy's watching. Bobby and Michael are watching. Welcome, everybody, to the show. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Patriot Nation Radio Show once again. And check this out.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at Liberty Rush. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Here we go.
I never knew Dave about Ray, people or like the last day when an officer is passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only, and then she will call the badge number or call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that, and that's what the song is about. Basically, it's about an officer who's gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray USA.
Yes, indeed, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition is out now, and they are working on some new stuff. If you are a fan and been over to the page or check them out on Facebook, you have seen the recording of a new song. They've been putting some little clips of them recording the new song. I believe they finished it today, so that's pretty good. We'll be hearing that again here real soon. There was something I found. I'm trying to find it now. And, of course, Project Veritas doing great stuff. That's my rabbit in the background. I hope you don't hear that. Project Veritas is doing very great stuff. And if you missed any of the undercover video, it's on my page there, the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And there was a show back in the day. It was called In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. Now, I know the captain, James Bostic, knows for sure who Leonard Nimoy is. And I got this clip. It'll probably come with a commercial. But I want to put this out to all the global warming fanatics that are out there today going, oh, my God, we're going to die in 12 years because of global warming. Well, this was what was happening when I was a kid. Uh-oh, hold on.
In 1977.
Hold on. Got to turn the Bluetooth jammy on. Here we go. Because you got to hear this. This is very important stuff here, folks. This is narrated by Leonard Nimoy. Okay? And here we go.
In 1977, the worst winter in a century struck the United States. Arctic cold ripped the Midwest for weeks on end. Great blizzards paralyzed cities of the Northeast. One desperate night in Buffalo, 8 people froze to death in marooned cars. Pat Bushnell was on the road that night.
Chris, I just actually said I was afraid of being stuck in the car all night long with the cold and the wind, running out of gas, and then what? I think that if we had to go through a real bad winter, just like we just went through, I think we have to think about moving someplace else.
Move where? The brutal Buffalo winter might become common all over the United States. Climate experts believe the next ice age is on its way. According to recent evidence, it could come sooner than anyone had expected. At weather stations in the far north, temperatures have been dropping for 30 years. Sea coasts, long free of summer ice, are now blocked year-round. According to some climatologists, within a lifetime, we might be living in the next ice age.
There you have it, folks. That was Leonard Nimoy and his show In Search Of, telling us about the ice age. Now listen, I'm all for global warming, but first let's have an ice age. When's the ice age going to happen? That is what I'm talking about. I'm getting news right now, folks, that El Chapo's son has been killed. And a war has broke out in the last hour between the Mexican military and the cartel. So we're going to keep an eyeball on that real fast. If anybody's got any updates, send them my way. But yes, you see, folks, so now you have Greta Thunberg, whatever you want to, however you pronounce her last name. Sorry, young lady, if I butchered your name. But she's going around telling us we're all going to die from global warming in 12 years. When I was a kid, they told me I was going to freeze to death sooner than later. Our good friend Melinda's there. If you missed her on the Dr. Phil show the other day, confronting Paloma for Trump with Amy Sutton. You want to go check that out. She'll be on the show Monday. We're going to talk about it. It was a quite interesting hour-long episode of the Dr. Phil show. Of course, the Dr. Phil show is riddled with tons of commercials. That's the drag. But you can find it. You can watch it. If you got a Fire Stick or something, you could go and watch Dr. Phil season 4 million episode, boom, and find it. It was Melinda who passed the news on to me about El Chapo's son and the war breaking out in Mexico between the cartels and the Mexican military. And we know there's at least 27,000 troops milling around somewhere. That's what they told us, right? 22,000 Mexican troops helping out at the border. Border crossings are way low. Hello to Billy Bilo. What's happening? Yeah, but that's the coming ice age, folks, you know, and it's kind of crazy. But so now you got the impeachment inquiry. First, there's no inquiry going on. Folks, what define inquiry? Inquiry minds want to know, right? It's looking into something. Big whoop. They've been looking into it since day two of President Trump's presidency. All right, so an inquiry is nothing new. We've been inquiring about this crap since day two of his presidency. And one of the loudest trumpets of impeachment, Congressman Elijah Cummings from Baltimore, has passed away. God bless, God rest him. I hope God saves him, because we know that he's been doing the devil's bidding, trumpeting for the Democratic Party. My guess would be that he probably was met at the gates of hell by Satan himself. I don't wish this on my enemies. I hope he was smart enough to save his soul, but I doubt it. Goes almost right to the bitter end. And how did he get to hospice? He was like 2 weeks ago going, Trump's got to go to prison. We got to impeach this guy, treason. And he went from here I am to hospice. Did he have a stroke? Did he have a heart attack? Maybe we'll find out. I don't know. I haven't heard, because, you know, I'm working and come home and family and homework and all this stuff. And so I don't really know if there's any updates on that either. Pretty silly. And then, of course, President Trump's got his rally tonight in Texas. And, of course, I've seen pictures, and a couple of folks we know have posted videos. They're there in the crowd walking around, and they're going to go see the rally. And of course, it's another gigantic crowd. No, it's not 420, Billy. if only, you know, running on 3 hours sleep and a mad work schedule kind of makes you look ragged. I haven't shaved all week. I've been, like, coming home and going right to bed, getting hammered every day at work, just kicking our butts. So right now I'm really running on empty. And Billy, I know you know that. I know you know all about running on empty, brother. So yeah, then you got people like the Syria hoopla, right? All this hoopla over Syria. And you heard what we talked about right at the beginning of the show in reference to, hey, here's this letter. Read this letter. It's black and white. Don't be stupid. Let's do what's right and stop killing these people. And we got a ceasefire. And the people are screaming about how the president, oh my God, he pulled the troops out of Syria. And here's an article that I got, right? It's by Gregory Court, or Corte, USA Today. It's a couple of years old, right? So someone went and they dug this up from USA Today archives. But President Obama has repeatedly vowed that there would be no boots on the ground in Syria. And I want to try to find the 16 examples. Let's see. August 30th, 2013. In no event are we considering any kind of military action that would involve boots on the ground, that would involve a long-term campaign. But we are looking at the possibility of a limited, narrow act that would help make sure that not only Syria, but others around the world understand that the international community cares about maintaining this chemical weapons ban and and norm. So again, I repeat, we're not considering any open-ended commitment. So right off the bat, he's saying no boots on the ground. Then he get boots on the ground. Here's September before the meeting with congressional leaders, September 3rd, 2013. So the key point that I want to emphasize to the American people, the military plan that has been developed by our Joint Chiefs and that I believe is appropriate is proportional. It is limited. It does not involve boots on the ground. This is not Iraq and this is not Afghanistan. So basically he's saying no endless war. We're not going to start another endless war. So the other Democratic hero other than slick Will Billy Clinton, Barack Obama, repeatedly stated no boots on the ground, and there's other examples there where he said that he was going to pull the troops out even at times that were there, and then they went and armed like the enemy and gave pallets of cash to Iran, who then probably funneled tons of weapons into the conflict. But we have a ceasefire. It's pretty amazing. He's an amazing president. He's doing unbelievable stuff. Doing unbelievable stuff. And we can only be so proud of what he does and how he does it. I think sometimes everything he does, everything he says, he's very articulate. And he plans and speaks carefully and specifically. And it's like these people keep taking the bait. He hangs it out there on a little string and they take it. And then it backfires and they have not learned. They have not learned a single solitary thing. They're always going to rush to judgment on every case. The media is going to cover their backs 100% as they have become the propaganda left wing arm of the Democratic Party. They have full capability of propagandizing the people. All the TV and entertainment and magazines and everything are owned by six corporations. Six. They pretty much put on the air what they want to put on the air. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. And of course, this is the whole Project Veritas thing. You have to go over to my page, folks, the Patriot Nation Radio Network page, and look at the videos if you haven't seen them. And then, of course, Alan Shulkin, Commissioner of the Board of Elections in New York City, saying how they bus people around and vote all over the place in different districts. More than one vote. They're voting like crazy everywhere. They're driving them around in buses in New York City so that the Democrats can win. Because if they don't do that, they lose. I wonder how many they bust around for Bill de Blasio. How many? Who the hell would vote for that clown? Who the hell would vote for Bill de Blasio? First, folks, Bill de Blasio's real name is Warren Wilhelm. And Warren knew that a name like Warren Wilhelm was not going to get elected in New York City. Remember Rudy Giuliani, Ed Koch, you know, Mayor David Dinkins, Mayor Warren Wilhelm. So he changed his name to Bill de Blasio. Seems kind of common. There are other Democrats that have done the same thing. Don't cite me right now. I can't recall exactly who. But, yes. Unbelievable stuff. They had this guy. He's, man, I love CNN. I'm going to become a reporter. I'm going there and I'm going to get a job. And I'm going to rise through the ranks and I'm going to be the best. And then he got there and he's like, what the hell is going on? This is not news. And he put a camera on for months. And he walked around CNN and he met with Jeff Zucker and a brass of CNN. And their agenda is full out. It's full out. Beto. I wonder if he's a master. Beto O'Rourke. Damn, Skippy, we're going to come door to door and confiscate. Now, that's like threatening 180 million people or something like that. So they're going to come door to door. They're coming to your house, folks. And they're going to take your weapons. Remember the last time? We were arguing over a 3% tax on tea. We threw a bunch of tea into the sea. The British people got mad and decided they were going to confiscate the weapons and take control of everything. Well, look how that turned out. 3% rose to the occasion. The Minutemen of our great country rose to the occasion with only 20% of support of the people. 80% of the people opposed a revolution until it happened and they were free and they no longer had to answer to the British government. Then they were like, hallelujah. This is amazing. We got this great republic and we're going to preserve it. And we're going to give the people the ways and means to preserve it forever. Here comes Beto. He's a real master. And he's coming for you. He's going to go door to door. I don't think it's going to work out well. I don't think it'll work out well. Because you've got to remember, there's a lot of people out there who, before all this registration and getting registered ever took place, had a bunch of fire. There's so much unregistered firepower out there that they can never go door to door and get everyone. They would have to go to every house and violate the civil rights of every single American from coast to coast and border to border. It's islands and its provinces and its territories. It's just the way that is, you know? So you got this great guy. He's a patriotic American. Now he's like, I went into this CNN and I'm gonna be the best. Guess what? He ain't the best. He's a hero. And the guy, you know, he's like, I think they said he was a Bernie Sanders. He voted for Bernie Sanders. And he wanted to be part of CNN. He thought it was the greatest news network on earth. Check out the videos on my page. You don't want to miss them. They are incredible. They are incredible. Absolutely mind-blowing. That these people, I mean, and when you just meet somebody, right, do you go and just start talking about everything with a stranger? They like loose lips. Remember what they said about loose lips a long time ago? Loose lips sink ships. And they're sinking their own ship. But good, let them sink their own ship. I mean, for crying out loud. So real fast, we have a great group of Patriots here in our area of Florida. And holy crow, what's today's date? What's today's date, folks? Holy crow. I don't even know today's date. But on the 17th, there's a March for Trump. The U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C., Americans supporting our president. Let's see, Thursday, that's today. We missed it. I was supposed to mention it. I didn't mention it. So I'm sorry. I'm behind sometimes, you know. I hope the march went well. So now we got the Durham reports getting ready to roll out, and the Horowitz report, and all these, William Barr went for like to Italy and Poland, and he went around and he's digging deep. He's looking in. Thank you, Lita. I realized that the event was today at 10 a.m. We had some folks here in my local county. They stood in support here on, you know, near my home here, but I was at work 40 miles away, so I didn't make it. Don't usually make the 10 a.m. rallies on a work day. But they had a good crowd. They probably had like 25 people standing out there waving American flags, Gadsden flags, Trump flags, and they had a little tent set up where they were making their own signs, you know. And I hope folks listen, man. It is Halloween. Halloween's coming up. It's one of my favorite times of year. I love Halloween. And as I searched on the internet, now I'm not really autistic, so I can't do it. I won't get this and do it to my pumpkin. I can't do the crafts that well. I'm not like a crafty guy. You know? I can carve a jack-o'-lantern or get a stencil maybe and put it on there, but they have Donald Trump pumpkin stencils. So if you are handy and crafty, seek it out and make yourself a Halloween Trumpkin. I would love to see it. Send me the picture, because I ain't going to take a chance. I got one pumpkin. I'm going to make a scary jack-o'-lantern and put a candle in it. But they got some great stencils for the Trumpkin, Halloween Trumpkin. Get yours today. But, yo, these reports are getting ready to roll out, and I really believe that I really, really believe. Thanks, Billy. That's amazing. Thank you so much. I hear you, Billy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Billy Belo, take a pause. Make sure you check them out there on Facebook. There's many different pages for many different reasons and charitable ideas, great things happening, helping veterans, helping storm victims, helping veterans. We got to help the veterans, folks. We got to help the veterans. I mean, for crying out loud. Look, the president's trying. He's doing things. But anyway, this report's coming out. And I think right now the Democrats are really shaken. Oh, that's what I wanted to find, too. Folks, did you hear this stuff this week? They had these blackouts in California, and apparently during these blackouts, I'm going to try and find the video. During these blackouts, apparently some raids took place in California in these underground bunkers where apparently a bunch of children were rescued. So right now I'm going to try to find this guy. His name is Timothy Holmeseth. And he posted this video this week. I'm just trying to find the lady who sent it to me in a private message. I can't find her. It's pretty, I don't know, you know. I want to play it. I want to try to play it because I think I want folks to send me their opinions, what they think is being said here. Where is it? I think I found it. Here you go. What is the Pentagon Pedophile Task Force? Uh-oh. It's on restricted mode. It's a restricted video. I don't know how to get it off restricted mode. Well, nuts. All right, let's go. I can't go there. So it's on restricted. I got parental controls on the tablet. It's a must. I got to do it. So anyway, what he says in the video is that they did these raids in secret when they turned out the lights in California. Hey, Pastor Sylvester Bland's watching folks. Tune into the United Saints of America.us. Log on there and check out the show Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I know it's on at the same time as my show, but if you don't like me and you don't like my message, you don't like how I speak or whatever, head on over to the United Saints of America.us and Pastor Sylvester Bland. Doing great things, building churches without walls, ladies and gentlemen, doing amazing stuff. Blessing the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But folks, you know me, I'm very Christian oriented, and we do a lot of Christian things on here. You know, prayer and stuff like that. And so it's very important. And you can watch Pastor Bland. He has, I think, Sunday services. They're on when I'm in church. So I go to my church and his show is on. So I miss his show. But you don't have to. United Saints of America.us. Check him out today. So, yeah, I can't play this. But he was talking. And I don't know. Maybe, Pastor, you heard something because you're out there in the California area. That 2,100 children were rescued in stacked up cages. There was two pictures that came with the post that I got of these kids in cages, and the cages were stacked up like you would see like in maybe the dog pound. You know, they were stacked up, and they had kids in them, and apparently 2,100 were rescued. And they're saying some of these earthquakes that you're feeling all around California are part of them like opening bunkers, and they're like charges or something. I don't know. Have you heard anything, Pastor? Anybody from California who's in California? Have you heard this? What are they saying in California? Has anybody heard anything? Is there any word going on in California about these raids that took place? Pastor Sylvester Bland is building churches without walls out of San Diego, California. Oklahoma City, hallelujah. There's a guy running for a state house over there. I forget his name right now, but he really trashed my nephew on a post. So I'm like, wow, this guy, we have mutual friends, and I think he's actually, you know. So I went to his page and I was looking, and he's running for a state house seat in Oklahoma. I forget his name now, so it's old news. And he's foul-mouthed Republican. He's the furthest thing from a conservative, patriotic, constitutional-minded person, based on his horrifying statements to my nephew. So I hope folks, you know, I send out word. I talked to some people that were in Oklahoma. Hopefully the word got out a little bit. I don't know. I tried. It was hard to do. Because a good way to, we used to network was through Overpasses for America, but they shut them down on Facebook, and there's no connection now, really. It was hard for me to find people in Oklahoma on there, you know? Yeah, Pastor's out there in California. He hasn't heard a thing. But, you know, they're not going to tell us what they're doing. You know, it's like the president told us in his campaigning. We're not going to tell you what we're doing. We're not like the Obama administration where we're going to come out and tell everybody exactly what we're doing. Hey, you folks over there in Mosul, we're going to bomb you on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. And then they all leave. Hi, I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. You're going to bomb you. All right, and then the enemy leaves town, and they blow up the town. There's nobody there to clear out the place. They drop a bunch of bombs for theater, and then they all move back. Silly. Silly, silly fools. That's just the way it goes. Playing in a band. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. My rabbit is over there like digging a hole. I hope it's not disturbing. I want to say hello to Anastasia. How are you, Anastasia? Welcome to the show. Folks in the live feed, we are rocking and rolling here tonight on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. And it's me, your host, Mark Hoffman.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Yeah, so...
Attention, conservatives. Big social media
on.
Is targeting conservatives like...
Sorry. So something's going on down there in Mexico. We're waiting for some updates. Apparently, El Chapo's son has been murdered. Yeah, there's some video coming out over there. Let's see what it says here. The authorities are moving throughout the municipality of Culiacan. Several shootings are reported throughout the city. So something's unfolding down there in the Mexico town. We'll try to keep you updated as the show goes along. That's out in California too, I believe. I mean, out near California, the border region. But anyhow, folks, you know what? I had a blast. I'm gonna wrap up the show. I got some things to attend to. I would like everybody to tune in this Monday, 8 p.m. Melinda and Amy are going to join me. They just were on Dr. Phil. We're going to talk to them about that and what happened there, how that show went. Make sure you head on over to her page, Melinda Henry Colorina, and watch the video. She's got it there, her and Amy on Dr. Phil show. That's Monday. Hope you can tune in. And right now, I'm going to wrap it up right here with the Star Spangled Banner. Please rise. Because here we rise for the flag and we kneel for the cross. This is the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Uh-oh. Gotta skip the survey. There you have it, folks. That's Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition, out now. New music on the horizon from Dave Bray. Hopefully we can get some of the songs here and get them on our playlist. And again, I want to thank everybody for your undevoted time and attention for this short version of the Patriot Nation Radio Show, the 40-minute version. I got to run. Things are just happening like at a breakneck pace. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will try to get you an update here soon on the situation outbreaking in Mexico. So we'll see. Cartels and the military battling each other until we meet again this Monday with Melinda and Amy joining us fresh off their Dr. Phil show episode that aired, I think, yesterday. It aired on the TV. So if you missed it, we're going to talk about it. Go to my page. I think the video is there, posted. And you too can view Melinda and Amy on Dr. Phil. They are doing some great work, you know, bringing us the news about the border. So it's important to get these messes straightened out and cleaned up. And if you missed the show and you're just tuning in now, it'll be on the page, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation and listen to the archives. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows there. All right, folks, until we meet again, good night, God bless you, and God bless America.